Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writer Series, Thursday, February 12th, 2009. Tonight I'm talking with Hugh Fox, author, poet, and MSU professor for over 30 years until he retired in 1999. Welcome, Hugh.
Molto grazie.
How did you first get started writing?
My father was a doctor who had been a violinist. My mother met him, and she found out that he'd gone through pre-med. But he wanted to be a violinist, and so he was pushed into medicine by my mother. But he was always a frustrated violinist. She, on the other hand, was a frustrated actress. She was a secretary, but she was always Mrs. Perfect Face and perfect everything. So I was in a family of frustrated artists. And so I had polio at age 5, and then I recovered. I was the first person to receive some pre-sauc vaccine. And so I began violin at age 5.
Oh, wow.
With P. Marinus Paulson. You've never heard of him, but he should be on the same level as Beethoven.
Oh, my goodness.
He was a great composer. And so he taught me violin, composition, how to play with the keyboard to turn it into music. And then they found out about Zerlina Neumann-Metzger from Vienna. When Mahler's Das Lied von der Erde was performed, her mother sang the lead role. And she had come to the U.S. It was always Madame Metzger. And so we were in a children's opera group. And when the Met came to Chicago in the theater downtown, we'd go and sing the children's choruses in Carmen. Then I got to know the doorman, and he let me in for everything. So I went to every ballet. Everyone else was playing baseball and basketball. And I was watching, you know, Maria Tolci as a ballerina. And it was just completely crazy. And then I went into high school, and they were looking for, I used to always wear my tweeds. It was an Irish Christian Brothers High School in Chicago. And I was always taken to get Harris tweeds from England or the Hebrides. And so they saw me, and I was like one of them. So they were looking for an editor for the newspaper.
Oh, that's excellent.
And so all of a sudden, I was editor of the newspaper. And it was all that background that I had, you know. So I started writing. That's how I really started writing, you know. But I had all this stuff in me, so I just kept going. Then they pushed me into pre-med. I went through 3 years of pre-med and a year of medicine.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I rebelled and tore my final exams on the last day of medical school. And I got a bachelor's degree I had to get in English, master's degree in English, and a PhD in American literature. And so I started writing all the time. It just started flowing out of me. So I still, at 77, I'm still writing every day. I write 2 or 3 poems a day.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Was it difficult to get published for the first time, and how did you go about doing that?
Well, that's a good question. It wasn't really hard. There was an organization called COSMIP. I was 10 years at Loyola in Los Angeles teaching.
Oh, right.
And then it was 1958 to 68, and then in 68 they had this... The Berkeley days, big
right.
It was a big meeting of all the poets that got together. And a guy named Len Fulton started an organization called COSMIP, the Cooperative of, the Cooperative Organization of Writers and Publishers. And so I got on the board.
Okay.
And so we used to have yearly conventions. And all the small presses, literary presses and literary magazines would come to the conventions, hundreds of them. So I got to meet all the writers.
Oh, that's amazing.
And all the editors. So then, that's why I have 110 books published, because I knew everybody. And it still goes on that way.
Oh, that's amazing. You have such an extensive bibliography of publications, you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Poetry, fiction, and edited works. What do you enjoy writing the most, poetry, fiction, or do you prefer being an editor?
Well, I actually like poetry the most.
Poetry.
Being in Michigan State is very strange because it's probably the best music department in the world. It's very strange. They have all these Russians and Koreans and Taiwanese and this and that. So we go to concerts almost every night. And what I've been doing recently is I carry a little notebook with me.
Oh, that's great.
And I carry the notebook and during the concerts, write the poetry.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now there's one guy that saw about 30 of these poems, all based on, not based on, but related to music.
To music.
And he wants to do a volume just of that. You know.
That's amazing. What do you find most challenging about being a writer?
Well, the thing most challenging for me has been money. Because 40 years ago, let's say, 35 years ago, I had an agent named John Brockman in Chicago, in New York. And he agented some books for me. The Gods of the Cat. I do archaeology, too.
Okay.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I was reading about one of your latest projects is a book on archaeology.
Yeah, well, I married a Peruvian. She'll be at my reading tonight.
Oh, excellent.
She's now 77, she's 81. And she was a professor here, too.
Okay.
So I married a Peruvian, and we started going to Peru just to visit family. Then I started visiting ruins. So I ended up making a point of visiting all the ruins in all of South America and Middle America and Mexico. And then I read all the books that had ever been written about the ancient Americas, and I began to make discoveries myself.
Fascinating.
For example, I saw writing on some pots from the Mochica Indians in Peru, and the writing that turned out, I traced it down, because this library at Michigan State is one of the craziest libraries in the world, too, because they have more of the obscure things than you've ever seen before in your life. And so what I did is I found all kinds of books on, like, history of alphabets. I traced it was Phoenician writing.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I started translating the writing. And so I discovered that the Mochican Indians of Peru were Phoenicians. And that's just the beginning. That's a 10-hour lecture. You know. So I've done a lot of that. And that a lot of that appears in my writing, too. But then I met Charles Bukowski out in California. And I just was in one bookstore in Hollywood one day, and I saw one of his books, Crucifix and a Death Hand, it was called. Pickwick Bookstore. How can I remember that? I don't remember anything else, but anyway, Pickwick Bookstore and Crucifix and a Death Hand. So I read it, and I wrote to the publisher in New Orleans, Lujan Press, and they said, just look him up in the phone book.
Oh, wow.
So I looked him up in the phone book, called him, I said, I'd like to meet you. So I went over there, and he said, oh, you wanted to do something about me, huh? So he went out, and he got about 3 or 4 suitcases and filled them with all his books. And he said, if you find doubles of anything, keep one. So as a matter of fact, I found lots of doubles. I sold them to the library here for $500 for the doubles. And then I read everything that he'd ever written up to then, and then wrote a book about him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he totally changed me because he was a street poet. And he was right away. He worked in the post office, but he drank a lot, and he was kind of a crazy character. And so all of a sudden, from being academic, because with a PhD, you know, from the University
right.
of Illinois, I had read all the great poets and all that. But all of a sudden, here I am on the street with this guy, you know. And so then the poetry did change a lot. But I still, once in a while, on purpose, write obscure. Because I have some poet friends who are very artsy-wartsy, you know. And so,
right, yep.
You know.
Who are your biggest influences in writing, and which writers do you enjoy reading the most?
Well, Bukowski was one was the biggest one, I think. But then there's a Canadian. Now, she's American, but she's living in Canada, in Vancouver, British Columbia. Her name is Lynn Strongen. I have in my office, I have pictures of her as a child, middle-aged, and as an old lady. And she's been in a wheelchair most of her life. And she writes very difficult,
really
obscure, impressionistic writing. And I've been influenced by her a lot. And then about 2 years ago, I went to California and I did a book about 4 women writers out there. Lorraine Lockie, Carla Andre's daughter, Angela Mankiewicz, and Glenna Lou Shai. And so reading all their work, I did a book about them, and plus videos and all this, and interviews. And so that was a big influence on my work, too. And then I do a lot of reviewing, so I'm always constantly in contact. I review for a magazine called Small Press Review. It's online now. It's the first issue online came out. And so I get about every 6 weeks or 2 months, I get a big package of books to review. So I'm constantly reading all the writers, you know. So there's lots of influences there.
Oh, that's excellent. How has living and working in Michigan influenced your writing?
Yeah. Well, let me say something else about
that. Oh, sure. Go ahead.
And that is that I also am very much obsessed with films. And what we do every night, like Thomas Hardy, I saw a little bit of Tess of the D'Urbervilles. And then I said, well, I'm going to see all the films based on Hardy's writing.
Yeah.
So we see all the films based on, now we're seeing all of Jane Austen's films.
Oh, excellent.
So it's like, you know, immersion in 19th century British fiction,
yep.
You know. But the biggest influence, that's what you asked me, the biggest influences.
Huh? Yep, the biggest influence.
Okay, well, I think that Bukowski was the biggest influence, but lots of other writers, too, like Richard Castellanets. I don't know if you know him.
I haven't heard of him.
He's the only person I know who's already in the Oxford, you know, dictionary. The Encyclopedia Britannica, that's where he is.
Okay, yep.
He's the only person I know that's alive that's already in there. And I did study Dick Higgins, and I had a scholarship one time for a summer at Brown University.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown University had one library that's just all avant-garde crazy stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I read my way through 3 months of that. And A.L. Gillespie was one of them. So he was a big influence. Then I got to know a guy named Dick Higgins. He was a big influence. And some poets who are dead now, like Richard Morris and Noel Peaty. There's a guy named A.D. Winans in San Francisco. Ferlinghetti, of course, too. And all these people, you know. Not to mention the ones I used to know in Latin America, like...
Oh, that's excellent.
You know... Jorge Luis Borges in Argentina, and that's another thing is the immersion in Spanish and French. So I've had a lot of influence from Rimbaud and the French writers too.
What are your other works in progress?
Other works in progress. Well, the main thing I'm doing right now is just poetry.
Okay.
But I am thinking of doing a book about Debussy.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
Yeah. It's like a few years back, I got totally obsessed with French film. So I started watching French film every night for about 5 years. Then I wrote a book called Opening the Door to French Film, and that's already published, too. So I was thinking about opening the door to Debussy. That could be interesting.
That's
one of my favorite composers,
idea.
Yeah. But otherwise, the main thing is that I'm trying to do right now is to get some of these novels published and stuff. Because when I had Brockman as an agent, this Gods of the Cataclysm, it's an archaeology book. And then he had another book, First Fire, was published by Doubleday. And I made $40,000 that year.
Oh, man.
And last year, I think I made $14. But things come out. But then I'll get a stack of copies. You know, and then a lot of the publishers that I know are also artists.
Right.
Like there's a press called Panda. Panda Press, Green Panda, I think it's got Green Panda in Cleveland. And the editor is Bree. She's a great writer herself. She's kind of a wild person. When she reads, she always crawls all over the floor and claws the walls and things. I was at a reading with her in Berkeley last year. And she just published two of my books. But I don't get anything out of it except some fame,
right,
reviews,
exactly.
And that, you know. So it would be nice. I have about 30 unpublished novels.
Oh, my goodness.
For instance, my own favorite is called In the Beginning. when I was a professor at Loyola University in Los Angeles, one of my students, Pat Leahy, she's 4 years older than me, so now she's, you know, or is it five? Anyway, she's up in her 80s now.
Right.
She's up in her 80s now. She was my student. And so we used to hang around a lot and go for coffee, and she'd always tell me, we'd be going down the freeway. She said, look at the motel. And I said, Pat, you are my student. I can't see the motel. So we went out for, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years like this all the time. It was very nice. And so I wrote a novel in which I based it on and we're still friends. I was with her a week. I went out to visit her a week in California. She's a widow now. And she only has nieces and nephews, no children. So I said, why don't you have any of your own children? She said, if you had done things the way I wanted you to, I would have had plenty of children.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, I'm sorry. The novel is two parts. The first part is me and her out in Los Angeles and going around. And I did make one night of love. One love night. But it's not sexual at all. I turn her into a pianist and composer. And that she had, and it's true that she always had these houses that were palaces in the middle of palms. And so I place it in that house and all that. And I think it's the most beautiful thing I've ever written. I would love to see it on a screen. Not done in this country, but done in England. And then all of a sudden, we end. I go to the East Coast, and that cuts. And this part two is 40 years later.
Oh, wow.
She's a widow, and I'm a widower, and I've gone to live in Paris. And so is she. And we're for 3 years in Paris together before we meet one day. And then we meet, and we get married. And we go to Cadiz in Spain and all over. And then I die of prostate cancer. And so she's a widow and she's left by herself. And the last part of that is, if you read it, if you have dry eyes after reading that, you need a psychiatrist. Really,
I'm sure he won't. Well, thank you very much, Hugh, for participating in the MSU Libraries Michigan Writer Series. And good luck with your reading tonight, and happy birthday as well.
Molto grazie. Okay, there we go.